Well, hello there. Welcome to yet another fantastic episode of Electronic Engineering's Best Darn Podcast, Amelia's Weekly Fish Fry. I'm your host, as always, Amelia Dalton from eejournal.com. And folks, it's right about this time of year, you know, when the colorful leaves have fallen away in the rain, days are getting shorter and shorter, and Q4 is finally running out of steam. Yep, it's this time of year, especially for me, that I need a project. I get kind of antsy to create something. Fire up that soldering gun, turn on the O-scope, and pull out those data sheets. Come to think of it, I think I've been this way my whole life, especially in school. You know what would have been really awesome in school? A MakerBot. Well, times are changing, my friends. No longer will our children have to struggle through school like I did without a MakerBot. Well, at least if MakerBot has anything to say about it. A unique initiative has recently sprung up between MakerBot, America Makes, Autodesk, and DonorsChoose.org, with the goal of giving a MakerBot to every school in the entire United States. MakerBot CEO Bree Pettis is starting off this collaboration in grand style. He is personally pledging to put a MakerBot Replicator 2 desktop 3D printer in each of his hometown of Brooklyn, New York's public high schools. Starting this week, you too can get a MakerBot into each and every school in the United States. You can head on over to DonorsChoose.org right now. It's a crowdfunding site for teachers. And you can financially support this program. You can. Each school will not only get a MakerBot Replicator 2 desktop 3D printer, but also three spools of MakerBot PLA filament and a full year of MakerBot's MakerCare service and protection plan. MakerBot isn't stopping there, however. With Autodesk's help, they are supplying educators with Autodesk's Tinkercad project-based curriculum from Autodesk's Instructables.com community as well. So, go there now, ladies and gentlemen. Just think of the children and try to remember when you were a little kid, a little budding engineer just waiting to take on the world. I can hear you all out there loud and clear, Amelia. That's super cool. But what about today? What about my, oh gosh, it's winter and I need something to do project? Well, what about motor control? Wouldn't a motor control project right about now be pretty gosh darn cool? Let's head on over to Launchpad Land at Texas Instruments with Chris Clearman. I think they might have a pretty interesting new Launchpad eval kit that could fix me and you right up. Hi, Chris. Thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you for having me.
So Texas Instruments has got a new Launchpad in the MCU Launchpad eval kit ecosystem called the C2000 InstaSpin Launchpad. And you're also announcing a new motor drive booster pack plug-in there, too. Tell me more about this eval kit and booster pack combo, and what's so cool about this new kit and booster pack?
Well, launch pads are very low cost, typically $10 to $20, entry into TI microcontroller evaluation. And they give you everything you need to connect to an MCU, write and download code, and access the pins. And this version includes one of TI's Piccolo 32-bit real-time MCUs that's been enabled with special three-phase brushless DC motor control capability. And booster packs plug onto launch pads, and they let your MCU interface or control a particular application. Now, this motor control booster pack uses our DRV8301 pre-driver and our NextFET MOSFETs. The pre-driver is self-protecting and integrates programmable amplifiers for the current sense, and a buck converter, which we're using to power the launch pad from the motor bus voltage. NextFETs offer good RDS on and thermals in a small package, which has allowed us to make a highly integrated board. It's very similar in form factor to off-the-shelf drives on the market. The booster pack supports motors from 6 to 24 volts and up to 10 amps continuous with 14 amp peaks. The launch pad we announced is only $17 and the booster pack just $49. That means you get an entire brushless DC development system for only $66.
Okay, Chris, give my audience a quick breakdown on some of the cool stuff that comes along with this kit and how they can use it.
Right. Well, besides the very nice low-cost hardware and the free development tools, the thing that you should really get excited about with this kit is the fact that it is InstaSpin enabled. Now, InstaSpin is our series of motor control solutions, which puts control expertise on the chip. And this launch pad is InstaSpin FOC enabled. FOC is field-oriented control. It's a way to maximize torque production and overall efficiency of three-phase motors, especially in applications where the motor needs to vary speed or has a varying load being applied. And InstaSpin FOC is completely sensorless, meaning we use software algorithms to provide estimates of the feedback signals that are normally provided by mechanical sensors, like Hall's or encoders. And the elimination of these mechanical sensors makes advanced motor control more affordable and more reliable. What a customer is going to appreciate is that we have automated a great deal of the control system. InstaSpin FOC includes a motor identification feature, which runs a short, 2-minute, one-time test on your motor. At the conclusion, we have all the information required for our sensorless algorithm, and we have set up a fully tuned, field-oriented control system, which will instantly spin up your motor to provide your commanded torque or speed in the most efficient way possible. Now, there is nothing else like this on the market, and the benefit to an engineer trying to control a three-phase motor is measurable in weeks or months of development time. So within a few minutes, they are ready to start testing and integrating the controls into their own motor-based product. It's truly revolutionary, and this low-cost kit goes perfectly with our overall InstaSpin goals to enable more electric motor-based products to be controlled more efficiently by more engineers.
Okay, so when is this launch pad available for purchase, and where can my audience get their hands on one?
The launch pad and the booster pack are available now. You can order them individually or as a bundle. And I'd recommend your audience go to ti.com/instaspin or ti.com/launchpad for more details.
Well, I think that's all I have time for. Thank you so much for joining me today, Chris.
Great talking to you. Keep spinning those motors.
Okay, that's great. You've got this awesome new project, but looky here, it needs power. And well, what if it could create its own power? Again, what the heck am I talking about? I'm talking about one of the MEMS Executive Congress Technology Showcase winners, MicroGen Technology. I've got two words for you, Thing Power. Intrigued? I certainly hope so. My guest today is Robert Andoska, President and CEO of MicroGen Systems. Thank you so much for joining me today, Robert.
Thank you, Amelia.
First off, what is MicroGen? What do you guys do?
MicroGen makes a micro power generator, or what they call it is an energy harvester. Energy harvesters are like solar cells or wind turbines, water turbines, those types of things that convert ambient energy from wind or something like that to usable electricity. We convert ambient mechanical energy or vibration to electricity. And so it's very, very similar, but we're doing it at a micro scale. So our devices are on the same size as or less than a postage stamp in size.
That's impressive. So tell me about some future markets you're going into. Well, where are you headed?
Well, the first one, our first way into the market is the industrial building market, where you're monitoring equipment maintenance, you're doing lighting control and so forth. You don't want to have to rewire a whole building to do so. For example, Chevron did a study that they put in 12 sensors to monitor oil wellhead. If they put in wiring to power those sensors, it would have cost them $10,000 to wire those 12 sensors. If you then make them wireless, you save all that wiring. But you have to have someone changing batteries all the time. And in over 10 years, you're going to spend $10,000, so there's no cost benefit. If you can make those wireless sensors truly wireless or cordless by having an energy harvester, and it's not going to be all any vibration. There could be some thermal ones and there's some solar ones. But if you can power them with energy harvesting, now you've actually saved the money. And that's the value proposition for the industrial building markets.
So you're using a tagline called Thing Power. That was very interesting to me. Tell me more about that.
Well, you know, everybody's talking about the Internet of Things. And we really, what it comes down to is it's going to be sensors deployed everywhere, ubiquitously in the environment, on people, on machines, on bridges, whatever. And basically the connectivity of these things with the internet, and so you'd be able to monitor stuff. Well, unfortunately, batteries only have a finite lifetime. Okay, so if there's going to be a trillion sensors in 2020 or so, 2023, according to the T-Sensor Summit and Janusz Breznik, that's great. I do agree with that, but only if you can power them in some other way than a battery. A trillion batteries is not going to be the case. I'd hate to be changing all those batteries. It's not going to be all vibrational energy harvesters. It's going to be thermal energy harvesters and solar energy harvesters, but it's going to be a lot of energy harvesting, converting energy from vibration off of a machine to vibration off of a bridge, off of a clothes dryer. So if you can put a humidity sensor right in the rotating drum of the dryer, and you can power that sensor, it's better than having a humidity sensor in the exhaust. I mean, how many times do we go to our dryer and it's buzzing, and you get there and they're piping hot, or they're still wet? Okay, if you can have that humidity sensor in with the clothes rotating around there, then you can actually know when your clothes are dry. And so we're actually going to have a demo product next year called iDry, and it's going to connect up to your phone. And so, you know, it's the connectivity of things. And the issue is how do you power all those sensors? And that's ThingPower.
I love it. Well, I think that's all I have time for. Thank you so much for joining me today, Robert.
Thank you very much, Amelia. I appreciate it.
Also, did you know that EE Journal has a Facebook page? Of course you did, but maybe you haven't liked us yet. Well, you should. Head on over to facebook.com/EE Journal. If you're into Twitter, hit us up at EE Journal TFM. And if Google Plus is your thing, well, we're there too. Also, by clicking the links below the player on this week's Fish Fryin' page, you can also grab our Fish Fryin' RSS feed or subscribe to Fish Fry via the iTunes store. Well, that's all there is for this week's Fish Fry. Remember, if you want any further information about the stories covered in today's show, head on over to eejournal.com and look for this week's Fish Fryin' page. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in. If you know of any cool new technology, any fun EE conference coming up that I absolutely should attend, or perhaps the best geeky hotspot in your city, shoot me a line at amelia@eejournal.com or post a comment on our forums on EE Journal. For the week of November 15th, 2013, I'm Amelia Dalton, and you've been fried.